Good morning, Shelbyville Church. Good morning. And everybody that might be listening on the radio and the internet. It's nice to be here this morning. I come in with a little bit of an odor this morning in the church. Something has died. We're not sure what it is or where it is, but we'll locate it. That's why the windows are wide open and the air conditioner's running. Those things happen in a small country church. This is entitled Mankind's Greatest Debt. Winston Churchill paid a great tribute to the young men in the Royal Air Force who guarded England during the war, saying, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." You remember that saying? The Battle of Bastogne represents one of the bloodiest actions in World War II. A monument there pays tribute to the heroism of the U.S. 101st Airborne Division, and it says, "Seldom has so much American blood been shed in the course of a single action. O Lord, help us to remember." And lastly, but most important, but then thinking of the cross of Christ, we can say, "Never in the history of the universe has mankind owed so much to one." Isn't that true? Have a paragraph I want to share with you from Story of Redemption, page 48 and 49. To Adam were revealed future important events, from his expulsion from Eden to the flood and onward to the first advent of Christ upon the earth. His love, meaning Christ's love, for Adam and his posterity would lead the Son of God to condescend to take human nature and thus elevate through his own humiliation all who would believe on him. Such a sacrifice was of sufficient value to save the whole world, but only a few would avail themselves of the salvation brought to them through such a wonderful sacrifice. The many would not comply with the conditions required of them that they might be partakers of his great salvation. They would prefer sin and transgression of the law of God rather than repentance and obedience, relying by faith upon the merits of the sacrifice offered. This sacrifice was of such infinite value as to make a man who should avail himself of it more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. That's how valuable each one of us are to Jesus Christ. He went to a cross, condescended to come down from the Godhead and become human, that he might die for each one of us. Now, we sometimes think that we're pretty willing to sacrifice, but compared to what the Lord has done, there is no comparison, is there? Here's another little story I wanted to share with you. It's entitled Rembrandt Crucified Christ. In the famous painting of the Crucifixion by Rembrandt, your attention is drawn first to the dying Savior. Then, as you notice the crowd gathered around that scene at Calvary, you are impressed by the various attitudes and actions of the people involved in putting the Son of God to death. Finally, your eyes drift to the edge of the picture and catch sight of a lone figure almost hidden in the shadows. He represents the artist himself, for Rembrandt realized that it was his sin that helped nail Jesus to the cross. This morning, it is my prayer that each one of us will realize the same thing. It was our sins that hung Christ on the cross. Many Christians are like Rembrandt. They understand the sacrifice made in their behalf, at least to some degree. I don't know if we can fully understand it. But far more Christians do not realize. They listen to the sermon or take note of a kind word spoken, but completely miss the importance of what it means to live in the Spirit each day. We need to remember that Christ's ministry involves more than his teachings, healing, and sacrifice in the past. Let us ask ourselves this morning, am I aware of how Jesus ministers to me in my life each day? And why do I point that out? Because there is a tendency to separate what happened back when Jesus was on earth from what is happening right now in our lives. So today I would like us to take notice of how Jesus, giving up his life for us, continues far beyond what he did for us on the cross. To do that, let's open our Bibles to Mark, the 10th chapter. Most of us are familiar with the story of how the disciples, James and John, would try to sneak one over on the other disciples and ask Jesus, when he came into his glory, that they might set one on the right hand and the other on the left. Other gospel passages even indicate that they got their mom to ask for this favor on their behalf. What I would like about this story is that when the ten heard about it, they were greatly displeased with James and John, and then Jesus teaches a lesson, a moral to the story, so to speak. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 10, and beginning in verse 35. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we sit one on the right hand and the other on the left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all." Let's stop right there a moment. What did James and John need to learn? Jesus showed them that glory is more than power and position. Greatness is not a one-time accomplishment or a status or a position. It's a whole way of living. In fact, it's an attitude of service, and that's what Jesus had, and that's what he wants for each one of us. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Later, when Jesus prayed before his death, "Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified in you." What was he actually asking for? He wasn't talking about power or position, was he? I believe he was talking about the cross. Jesus' glory was to die for lost sinners. It is so opposite from what the world thinks today. To the world, glory means having power, riches, and status, being above others. But to the King of the universe, glory has to do with sharing love and giving of yourself. It is healing and serving those in need with humility and with respect. Let me share with you from the book Steps to Christ, page 52. The prophet of the Lord says, "Some seem to feel that they must be on probation and must prove to the Lord that they are reformed before they can claim his blessings. But they may claim his blessings of God even now. They must have his grace, the Spirit of Christ, to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are, sinful, helpless, and dependent. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, and our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penance. It is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love and to bind up our words to cleanse us from all impurity. I especially love that last sentence, that it is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love and to bind up our wounds and to cleanse us from all impurity. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus giving up his life is just not an event long ago. He wants to heal and cleanse us even now, today. Jesus' glory was to humble himself in love and to die for you and me. Today it is Jesus' glory to continue doing the same thing and with the same attitude that he revealed on the cross. God's word often offers to us this very moment in Jesus a sacrificial God, a living God, a friendly, caring, and loving God. One who's humble enough to listen to our prayers and spend time with us, though he is the ruler of the universe. Jesus is ready in a moment's notice to hear and respond to our needs for forgiveness, love, help, and cleansing. Do you need God's healing today? Do you want God's healing today? Right now, this morning, will you let Jesus make a difference in your life? Today we will share the emblems of Jesus' sacrifice for each one of us. It is now time to separate for the ordinance of humility. The ladies will gather in the fellowship hall through this door to your left, and the men will gather in the center classroom through this door to your right. We'll meet back here in a few minutes. When you return, please sit in the pews with the cup holders. This will make it easier for the deacons to better serve you. Adventists practice an open communion, so we invite our visitors to participate in the ordinance if they feel so inclined. Otherwise, feel free to remain seated, and we'll be back in a few minutes to celebrate the Lord's Supper.